and welcome to the first in our new series of podcasts, In-House in Conversation.
My name is Rowan Torrell and I'm a partner and head of dispute resolution at Boyes Turner. In this series, I'm going to be talking to in-house lawyers and asking them to share their experiences and insights into their roles, some of the challenges they've faced and how they've tackled them. Today, I'm very excited to be joined by Emily Garvey, who is the Chief Legal Officer for West Coast Group. Hello and welcome, Emily, and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, as somebody who lives and works in the Thames Valley, I know the West Coast name very well. But for those who aren't familiar with it, could you tell us a little bit more briefly about what it is that West Coast does?
Yeah, West Coast is a distributor. So I guess in most people's lives, you don't ever know of the middle person between the actual manufacturer and the retailer that you go in and buy your electronics from. But we are a distributor of very well-known global brands of IT equipment from the likes of Samsung, Microsoft, Apple, HP. We buy from those brands and we sell on to resellers or retailers or other UK organizations, mainly in the UK, but also in the Republic of Ireland and also mainland Europe.
I know a little bit about your background. Could you tell the people listening just a little bit more about how it is that you came to be at West Coast and what you did prior to joining West Coast?
Actually, I didn't start with a law degree, actually. I started with a science degree and then went on to do the law conversion course, managed to secure a training contract at a Reading firm and qualified there, enjoyed being there for quite a few years. And then it was actually when I returned to work after my second child that I fancied a little bit of a change in my working environment. So I think it was probably more a matter of right place, right time. But I guess West Coast was already a client of the firm I was working with, and they happened to be growing to a size where they needed their own in-house lawyer. And so I guess, as you do, mentioning it to one of the partners at work that I fancied a bit of a change of scenery. And he happened to mention that West Coast were looking for in-house legal counsel. So we decided it'd be a good idea for me to actually not jump in fully, but I went on a secondment to West Coast actually for 12 months, I guess, so we could both dip our toes in the water, should we say, of understanding A, whether I wanted to take the real plunge of being an in-house lawyer and whether actually West Coast A, wanted an in-house lawyer and wanted me to be their in-house lawyer. So it seemed to work well. It seemed to be a good option for both of us. And so I completed the secondment and joined them full time after that, as it worked wonderfully for both of us.
So, Emily, I know that you're a litigator by background, and litigation from private practice into an in-house role isn't really necessarily a common route for people to take. How did you find that when you moved in-house?
No, it's not. You're right, actually. My understanding is it's more the norm for, I guess, either corporate lawyers or commercial lawyers to then opt for the in-house route. But it's becoming more and more popular for any sort of stream of lawyer to opt for the in-house role, because in-house roles are so much more common than they were historically. But I guess coming from a litigation background, you have that sense of you have a good armory, should we say, of coming into the commercial world when not only you're their first lawyer, but also I guess coming up to lots of very confident people in a sales environment can be quite daunting. But I think having had that litigation training and background, it suited me very well, actually, stepping into the in-house world here at West Coast.
So this was both your first in-house role and the first in-house role at West Coast as well. So a double set of challenges there. How did you find that?
I'm not going to lie, I found it massively daunting on the inside, should we say. It was definitely a bit of a, you know, jump right in the middle of the ocean and see if I can not only swim back to shore, but clearly not be eaten by sharks on the way. But I guess with a sort of litigation background, even if you are very nervous on the inside, you have to put your armory on and go out and do the best job possible. And it was definitely daunting, but I also love a challenge.
And that's a litigator and you coming out again.
Yeah, I think I just have this bit of a mindset that if I find something, if the thought of doing something makes me a bit nervous, then I should go and give it a go, because otherwise, how will you know if you can do it?
true. I mean, where do you first start in that sort of situation when there's, you know, no sort of precedent to follow in terms of somebody having done the role before you? Are you kind of in reactive mode to start off with? And at what point do you move to being proactive and starting to change things that might have been embedded in the business for some time?
Yeah, I definitely, I guess when I was on secondment here, actually, for the first 12 months, I was not only, I guess, trying to understand a new office dynamics, because I guess when you're working in private practice, you're very used to the everyday, you know, rhythm of how the private practice works. Jumping into a new business, a new role, a new working environment, you know, new everything, it was difficult to understand where to start, as I'm sure you can appreciate. I think in that respect, I very much took the lead from the CFO, who was ultimately behind me actually joining West Coast in the first place. And I think for a lot of that first year, I was learning and understanding what West Coast does as a group of companies, because I think first and foremost, like any matter, even when you're in private practice, it's difficult to do the best job possible for your customer or client unless you actually know what they do and what they're trying, because you need to understand what they're trying to achieve commercially. So I think I probably spent a lot of the first year trying to understand what West Coast did as a business, what was important to them, what were they trying to achieve commercially, where are their biggest pain points in terms of, I guess, risk, and fundamentally also just doing the work that the CFO asked me to do along the way, because I'm sure you can appreciate I didn't hit the ground running in terms of knowing how to create a legal department in a business. So
I'm guessing the CFO was probably quite pleased to be able to move some things from his to-do list to your to-do list when you first started.
Well, I can't speak for him, clearly, but I'm still here. Let's put it that way.
So how did you work out sort of what to prioritise in the terms of, you know, putting your mark in place as the in-house legal team?
I think it took me quite a long time, actually. You know, I'm not in any way going to sit here and suggest that I knew how to do everything right from the off and I put the correct processes and procedures in place immediately to make me the most efficient in-house lawyer ever. It took me a really long time to find my feet, I should say. But I think actually probably a year and a half after I joined them full time, that's when I employed another lawyer to come in and help me. And then we were a legal team of two. And I think that was a real turning point for me, because actually it enabled me to bounce ideas off a peer. It enabled me to have a little bit of breathing space to finally step back and try and prioritize a few things in a more productive way. And it was, I think, in a slightly maybe childish way, it was just really nice to have someone that spoke my language with me.
Yeah, I think being a sole in-house lawyer must be, you know, a pretty lonely place to be sometimes in an organization.
And it sounds ridiculous because this organization is massive and really friendly. And, you know, there's a lot of really, really good people that I really enjoy working with. But, you know, I know everyone says lawyers speak a different language, and maybe we do. But it was lovely having someone like me on board.
Yeah, no, I know the benefit of, you know, just being able to turn around and talk to my own team sometimes. Just sometimes saying something out loud kind of reinforces it in your mind or makes you think, well, actually, no, that's a stupid idea. I better go back to the drawing board.
Yeah. And so I think bit by bit, you know, with having my first assistant come in and join me, and then probably again, maybe a year and a half after that, I managed to twist my CFO's arm a little bit more, and I got a second person to come and join our team. So then we were a team of three. And again, it took the pressure off ever so slightly to enable me to start actually thinking about how we could be most efficient in how we deliver legal services to the business ultimately. And again, what are our top priorities of where we need to focus our attention most? And, you know, in lots of ways, not dealing with matters that aren't necessarily our high priority or high risk matters. It's because it's got words in it doesn't mean it needs reading by the legal team.
So I know that an issue that some in-house lawyers find when they're trying to sort of bring a company into kind of the world of the legal process is how you actually do that in a way that makes sure you're integrated into the business and not seen as a barrier that somebody's got to jump over to get something done. How have you found that, and how do you integrate yourself into the business in that way so that you are seen as a positive force for good rather than a barrier to change?
Yes, that is a challenge. So I have seen many times, you know, people, especially when they've got their video, their videos on, I should say, and not just talking on the telephone or talking to the legal team on email. You know, I've seen far too many times of my liking someone suggesting that, you know, the legal team should look over it, and then you just see the eye roll and hear the tutting. It's as if we're seen as pedants in the business or something. And as you say, barriers to getting things done. It is a real challenge, but you know, in some respects, we are here as a valued team and department because, you know, we provide essential services to the business. You know, otherwise lots of legal risk or legal errors creep in, and that just creates issues down the line. I found ways of trying to counteract the slight negativity that sometimes is attracted to the legal department. I find ways such as, instead of actually sending an email which says, please don't do X, Y, and Z, or make sure you do X, Y, and Z, instead of doing that, I find actually just going to have a meeting face to face, or actually even just picking up the telephone and speaking to someone directly as if, you know, they are the person that they are. So instead of getting the slightly sort of teachery telling off email, you can actually explain to people in a commercial sense why it's really important that we have these rules and procedures and processes ultimately. I feel the more you can make the legal department a personality, the more people take you seriously and actually appreciate what you're trying to achieve and why.
Yeah. Now, I know that recently you've been working on how you deal with the allocation of work into your team from the business. Can you explain a bit more about what it is that you've put in place to help with that sort of prioritizing of the work that comes into your team?
Yeah, so previously it was chaotic trying to manage a workload, you know, on a daily basis, let alone weekly basis, that was coming into us via telephone or text message or Teams message or email, or, you know, being grabbed in the corridor. You know, it was very difficult, even though it was fantastic having a team of three of us to deal with the work, just trying to coordinate where it all comes in from and then try and prioritize and then do the work, I'm sure you can appreciate was, yeah, chaotic as the only word I could describe it. Thankfully, we have a wonderful in-house IT department here who are very adept at providing IT solutions to the business's needs ultimately. And we're very grateful to them. So we already had our CRM, gosh, quite a few years ago now, probably 4 or 5 years ago, introduced a ticketing system for the IT department to use. So, of course, when us non-IT people embarrassingly can't, I don't know, get our laptop to even turn on, again, instead of just ringing someone in the IT department, our CIO realized that actually we needed a triage system ultimately. So he asked one of his team to build something in the Jira workspace to create an IT help desk ticketing system ultimately. And I guess, you know, just seeing how that rolled out across the business and understanding then how beneficial that was to the IT team, I thought, I'll nab myself a little bit of that. So we spent probably the best part of 9 months working on and off with one of the IT team to build ourselves a legal assistance ticketing desk, ultimately, which we call the legal services desk. And so we're very much now, if you want help from the legal team, you need to raise a ticket, which is really good because it enables us to streamline actually the work in a much more efficient way. And it also helps sometimes with brushing away the unnecessary requests, because I think if people realize they actually have to raise a ticket and give us the necessary background information to enable us to provide, you know, the most efficient assistance, sometimes it puts people off and realizes that they can do it themselves, which is also very helpful.
and have you found that people try and sneak around the sides of the system still and sort of pop up at your desk and say, can I just, or have you managed to maintain discipline?
There are always people that do that. But to be honest, you know, that is sometimes we are a bit ruthless and say, yeah, great. Thank you very much for letting me know that. Please, could you raise a ticket in the usual way? And then always there are people who are going to circumnavigate and try and get their own way. But that's business, isn't it? And yeah. Going back to what you were saying before, Rowan, some of these people are very good at their job because they're very good at persuading people to do things in the way they want to do. And sometimes you just have to use your discretion, don't you, to allow people to, you know, understand that we are also, as in we the legal team, are also human people. And you know, when something is very important and it just needs to get done there and then, we will obviously be flexible to help where we can.
And so, looking back over your time at West Coast and what you've achieved there, what's the key bit of advice that you would give to somebody who's starting out as the first in-house lawyer in business? And what would you do or would you not do if you had your time again?
Gosh, it's always so easy to say, isn't it, that actually I would just try and give myself a bit more confidence back then. You know, I think one of the things, in some respects, having a litigation background was fantastic in so many ways. But what it really made me think in my mind was that actually, if you don't do everything perfectly, then there's a problem. Because people then tend to, you know, bring a claim against you. So, you know, there is, you know, in some ways I'm over dramatizing it just to make the point. But I guess when I first joined West Coast, I very much believed that every I had to be dotted and every T had to be crossed. Otherwise, you know, you'll have a dispute and, you know, there'll be £100,000 claim against you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I found that daunting at first to realize that when you actually work in business every day, nothing can be perfect because no one has time to make everything perfect. No,
I think when you come from a litigation background, because the only thing you see is when things have gone wrong, you just...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. Because all I saw was, you know, the fallout of something not having been done perfectly. You know, I had this constant worry when I first joined West Coast that, oh no, that's going out the door and it's not perfect. You know, like it took me a long time to get away from that mindset. And, you know, what we do here is obviously fantastic, but it is not, you know, it cannot be the polished, finished article that in my mind I always want it to be. And I wish I'd had more confidence when I first started here to just appreciate that rather than worrying about it all the time. Yeah, that's what I'd say. And ask more questions, ultimately. I think we all have this feeling of imposter syndrome in lots of ways. And, you know, I definitely felt like, oh, you know, how have I managed to, you know, walk into this role? This is far too big a role for me. You know, to be honest, maybe it is, but we have these sorts of feelings of, you know, that we're not good enough for the role because actually we just don't necessarily understand what is expected of us. And I think if I'd asked more questions and just been a bit more confident right from the start, it would have been maybe I would have found my feet a little bit quicker, ultimately.
Well, you're still there after all this time. So you're obviously doing something right in what you're doing.
It's good. We have, I've found a good place here. It's a great business, and I really enjoy the variety of being an in-house lawyer is fantastic. I love it. You see business for what it is, and you know, I feel like it really suits my personality being an in-house lawyer.
Thank you so much, Emily, for taking the time to talk to me today. That's been really interesting. And I hope that other in-house lawyers listening to this will be able to glean some pearls of wisdom from that in their future roles. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Rowan. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you for joining us for this podcast. I hope you'll listen in for the next ones in the series. In the meantime, if you've got any queries or you'd like to ask any questions, please find our details at our website, boysturner.com. Thanks very much.